Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Langtang Valley, Nepal. Touching down in Nepal is always electric. A vibrant collision of noise, colour, and life that instantly jolts the senses. This is our second visit, but this time, the adventure feels even more profound. We're setting out to hike the legendary Langtang Valley Trek, a journey that promises both challenge and serenity in equal measure. Soon, we'll be deep in the Himalayas, where the crisp mountain air feels like a tonic for the soul, and the flutter of prayer flags whispers ancient blessings on the breeze. I can already taste the Dao Bat after a long day's trek, hear the stories of resilient mountain villages,
Sakari,
and feel the awe that comes when you're dwarfed by towering peaks that have watched over the world for a millennia. Up there, time slows, your thoughts quiet, and silence, true silence, wraps around you like a blanket. This journey is more than a hike, it's a pilgrimage into stillness, humility, and raw, untamed beauty. Welcome to Langtang Valley. Let's begin. Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, an unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala,
holy moly,
navigating the chaos of a city market in India, Bangalore, India, or camping under the stars in British Columbia. This is a podcast for travellers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, what if I just went for it and travelled? If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. Let's dive in. We arrived into Kathmandu quite late, and were picked up by our guest house host from the airport. Already, we can feel the dust and the busy traffic en route. And to be honest, I have missed it. The smell, the heat, the dust. It's all part of the character of Kathmandu. It's great to be back after 5 years. We are staying in the area of Tamil, so the following day, we're out for a stroll in the area. Tamil is the beating heart of Kathmandu, a buzzing, chaotic and colourful neighbourhood that serves as a hub for travellers from around the world.
Take card as well.
Namaste.
Nestled within narrow, winding alleyways, it is packed with shops, cafes, restaurants, bars, trekking agencies, hostels and many hotels of all kinds. It's where backpackers go to plan their Himalayan adventures and for digital nomads to find strong Wi-Fi and espresso coffee. Locals mingle with tourists in the vibrant street life. By night, the area transforms. Rooftop bars light up, live music spills out onto the streets, and the district pulses with energy. I absolutely love this place. Tamil has a charm that's hard to resist. One of my favourite restaurants in the area is called Momo Star. I would highly recommend going there for a curry. I've missed it.
In one of my favourite places in the world, Kathmandu, Nepal, and eating one of my favourite dishes and cuisines in the world, Nepalese cuisine. today, got some momos for lunch, vegetarian, steamed, with some chow mein. Get chow mein anywhere in this part of the world, India, Nepal, they love a bit of chow mein, fresh chow mein. Glass bottle Coke, best kind of Coke. Not sure what sauce this is, but it looks great as well. Excited to get in there. Let's do it.
That's enough about Kathmandu. Time to arrange our trek. We booked our guide and our trek with our guest house. This is a requirement for Nepal now, which was not the case 5 years ago. So we need to budget for a guide. At this time, it was quite a new rule in 2023, and we're not sure whether it is enforced. Better to be safe than sorry. We got our guide. The outline of the trek is as follows. Kathmandu to Sayabrubesi. Sayabrubesi to Hotel Paro. Hotel Paro to the Riverside Hotel. Riverside Hotel to Langtang Village. A rest day in Langtang Village. Langtang Village to Kienjeng Gumpa. Then Kienjeng Gumpa to Lama Hotel, back down. Lama Hotel to Sayabrubesi. Then the bus or jeep back to Kathmandu. It's going to be around 9 days in total, and it's going to be quite a tough hike, but we're so excited for it, especially getting back into the Himalayas. We're off to the valley in the jeep, and I refuse to take as many buses as possible in Nepal because the roads are awful. I've had too many near-death experiences on buses in Nepal and India, enough for a lifetime.
Okay, we have left Kathmandu and we're off to the Langtang Valley, and we are now making our way by jeep, not by bus this time, because we paid a little bit extra to have a bit of comfort. About a 5-6 hours journey from Kathmandu to where we're going first, which is like the village where you start the trek. And already great views, some mountains, some greenery, fantastic. And these roads are for everyone, so bikes, buses, jeeps. It's an interesting ride, and I'm looking forward to getting to a new place that I've not seen before, having a cup of tea and enjoying the view.
We arrived into Sayabrubesi, a small town and a starting point of the Langtang Valley trek. We're staying at the Rising Sun Hotel. Before we set off, let's discuss our kit. Essential items include good, broken in hiking boots, warm clothing, trekking poles, first aid kit, plenty of snacks, and a reusable water bottle. And of course, a camera or a phone to capture the breathtaking scenery. There are plenty more things you might need, but these are the basics. We arrived at the hotel, checked in, and walked around to check out Sayabrubesi. We bought our snacks for the hike and had dinner at the hotel. After a 6.5 to 7 hour journey in the jeep, buying our snacks, walking around Sayabrubesi, it's time to get an early night up for an early start next morning to begin the hike. We are nervous but excited. Bring it on.
Right here in the town of Sayabrubesi, we're about to go on our first day of our Langtang Valley hike, and we're going to saunter up the hill, Leveson Wood, you said that yesterday, and fantastic setting here in the background. It's going to be a bit of a climb today, so got a load of water, load of snacks, and we've got a guide over there just doing a bit of admin, and we'll be setting off. Looking forward to it.
On day one, our plan is to hike to Lama Hotel, and we will hike through lush forests, cross suspension bridges, and encounter charming villages along the way. We will be trekking with our guide, Saperna, and we will start at 1550 meters, reaching an elevation of 2380 meters upon arrival at Lama. The trek should take around 8 hours, including breaks. It's a heck of a day for hiking. We made our first pit stop for lunch at Pyro Hotel. However, disaster struck on the first day. Emma was not feeling well. Usually, she is the better hiker of the two, but she wasn't moving too well, and she was experiencing nausea with flu-like symptoms and sinus congestion. We decided to rest, stay the night, and reassess in the morning. The owners here are so lovely. They cooked Emma an amazing soup to help her feel better. We talked about life, had tea, played the guitar, ate the most amazing bananas, and they even gave us free Wi-Fi. Pyro isn't a place where people stay. It's too close to Sayabrubesi, as it's the first stop on the trek, so the amenities are basic. Wooden beds with hard mattresses, a not-so-clean Asian toilet, and no shower. But we didn't mind at all. We were used to this type of travel. We finished the night with a great meal of dal bhat, singing songs, making connections, and living in darkness too, due to an electricity blackout. What a roller coaster of a first day. We woke up on day two, quite early, and Emma was in no shape to continue. So we both decided it was best for her to head back to Kathmandu in the Jeep. It was a hard decision, but the right decision. There's no point risking it, going to high altitude in Langtang Valley. So Saperna walked back with her to Sibubesi, where she caught the Jeep back to Kathmandu. And Saperna returned just after breakfast so we can continue the hike. I decided to carry on. Our aim is to reach Riverside Hotel by climbing 1,000 metres to an altitude of 2,700 metres. This is a tough day of hiking. It's hard hitting on the knees. In the morning, we're overlooking valleys from Pyro, passing Bamboo Tibet Hotel on the trail. And we see welcome to Langtang Valley with prayer flags and great views in the distance. The weather is cloudy, a bit moody, and it's threatening to rain. But we make our way up to Ramchi.
Thanks, sir. Thank you.
For a veg curry lunch. And by this point, I was almost done in, but I knew there was quite a way to go. Lunch at Ramchi was a nice stop. It felt like we've really started the trek now, and the elevation is starting to get higher and higher. I passed some trekkers along the way, met Kentucky Daniel. He's trekking with his own guide to the same spot as us for the night at Riverside Hotel. But the trail between lunch and Riverside was brutal, one step after the other. Just relentless steps. It was brutal. But finally, what seemed like all day, and it was at dusk, even though I was pretty much shattered, we made our way to Riverside Hotel and we made it. And I was absolutely elated, despite being so tired. Worthy of note here, take a reusable water bottle. Buying water bottles, which you'll need, is expensive at 300 rupees each. You're better off having a Grail water bottle, put it in the stream, and then using the filter to drink that water. Dinner is roughly around 500 and 600 rupees and normally is dal bhat, and the rooms are between 500 and 1,000 rupees. I had a resting night with the guides and Kentucky Daniel over coffee, tea, and dinner, and it was an early night for an early start the next day to Langtang Village. I ambled out of bed, packed my stuff, had some breakfast, which is a veg omelette, and got ready to start the day of trekking. Today's climb will be 730 metres to Langtang Village, where I intend to have a rest day. Early doors, we start to see some breathtaking scenery. The first thing we saw is the axe crossing a suspension bridge. I think this is the classic Nepalese sound of the Himalayas. Listen to this. As we crossed the suspension bridge, the Langtang Valley views start to come into play, and it's clear skies. And my word, it looks daunting but majestic. I can't quite believe that I'm aiming for those mountains in the distance and how high I've got to climb. But as I walked along the trail, more and more views, and I was loving every minute of being back in the Himalayas. More yaks pass on a suspension bridge. The locals using yaks to transport stuff from Langtang Village and Kianjian Gubba back down to Sibubesi. You'll see this all the time on the trek. Our lunch stop is at Thang Xiap, and this is a much needed lunch because that was a fairly brutal climb in the morning, and from now on it won't be too bad to Langtang Village. So now I can enjoy lunch with some amazing views and look over to the place that is the aim for the next few days. And snow-capped mountains, silence, a little bit of wind, and just the yaks with their bells and prayer flags rustling in the wind. It's just exactly what I thought this trek would be about. I'm absolutely alive right now. Despite feeling euphoric as I approached Langtang Village with the views, you are hit with a sudden reminder how dangerous nature can be. We arrived to Langtang Village Avalanche site. Back in the day before the earthquake and avalanche, this was the original village, but now it's all under rubble. Scores of people died, homes lost, and a real heartbreaking moment for the residents of Langtang Village. I stop here and I ponder about what devastation they must have gone through on that avalanche. We have to pass through this avalanche area. What struck me more is how much you should respect the nature that you're in. But arriving into Langtang Village was elation. I finally made it. It's one of the main points on the trek. And as I arrived in, it's quite moody, cloudy, and we wandered over to our hotel. And I couldn't believe what I saw when I walked in through the village, which was an espresso cafe. So immediately dumped my stuff, went to the Himalayan Bakery and Cafe, and I sat there, ordered a coffee for me and Saperna, and a cake. And I couldn't believe I was drinking great coffee in the Himalayan mountains. It was an absolute dream. We stayed here for a few hours, reflecting, not really exploring because the weather is starting to turn into rain and a bit of wind and a bit of cloud. But it's okay, I've got a rest day tomorrow and I can explore more of the village and speak to more locals the next day. So for now, it's espresso coffee, Daobat and a hotel, and an early night. I had no real plans to explore on this day, mainly to rest the legs, drink some coffee, speak to some locals, and just soak in this amazing little village. Saperna explained yesterday that the landslide from the earthquake a few years ago came from the mountains above and it decimated the original village. They rebuilt some houses further up the hill, now the main village. We're staying at Sunrise Guest House. It has a great little rooftop area for breakfast and coffee with great views. I tend to realise that the best views are in the morning. Clear skies, snow-capped mountains, and all the colours you can imagine. I wandered down to the Himalayan Bakery and Cafe, and Mip Sang, the owner, is a great guy. You should go and see him. He talked to me about his family and how devastating the earthquake had been. Then his great aunt walked in to have some cake. She's nearly 100, but survived the avalanche. She hid under a desk, not knowing what to do. But some of their family didn't survive, and it's quite sobering to hear. The Langtang village is one of my main aims of this trek, and I'm happy to soak it all in, despite Saperna, my guide, probably being a bit bored, but I needed a rest before we crack on tomorrow to Kianjeng Gumpa.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This one is tower.
Yeah. Second? No.
Right.
Day 5 is hiking to Kianjeng Gumpa, the final destination of the Langtang Valley trek. And when I woke up this morning on the top of my Sunrise Hotel with a coffee, the views were absolutely incredible. This is what I came here to see. Breathtaking views of snow-capped mountains, no cloud in the sky, as far as the eye can see. I was absolutely overwhelmed to be out here in the Himalayas again, in the clean, crisp air. What a choice. So I packed up my gear, had breakfast, admired the views, and walked off on foot on the trail towards Kianjeng Gumpa. You can see in the distance the mountains that are fully covered in snow, and that's our aim. One of the highlights of the trek is the diverse landscape, but this morning I am in awe of the vastness of this place. The views are like nothing else in the world. Nepal and the Himalayas are truly special. The silence, the fresh air, the people, the nature makes this a very special place. I'm honoured to share this with local people and other travellers who are making the same hike.
Okay, one more video and I'm done. It's such clear views. It's too good.
The first stop on the trail this morning is the Hard Rock Cafe. And let me tell you, the views here are much better than the views you'll get in other Hard Rock cafes around the world. This is one of the best views I've ever had with a coffee. To describe it to you, it's a little hut, prayer flags coming off it, benches outside, and you can look straight down the valley towards the mountains that tower above 7,000 metres. It truly is breathtaking. Unbelievable. So I sat there, sipped my coffee, and admired the views for half an hour. It's instant coffee, not my favourite, but I don't care, because I need the extra boost to get to Kinjeng-Gumpa. But I could sit here all day, looking at these mountains. We trundled on slowly up the hill, and the altitude gets higher and higher, and breathing in oxygen gets harder and more frequent. The ridges start to have snow on them, so I've got snow on my boots. Now I feel like I'm part of the mountains and in amongst it. I love the little buildings and shrines with prayer flags that defines what you think about in terms of Buddhism, religion, or the Himalayas in your mind.
Yo, up a little hill.
We can now see some seriously high mountains, like Langtang Lerung. This stands at 7,227 metres high. You need to catch it in the morning before the clouds settle in, and let me tell you, it is stunning. After 3 hours, we made it to Kinjeng-Gumpa, and what an achievement. I'm not a great hiker, I tire, I easily moan and curse, but the end goal was always worth it because of the views.
Yeah.
Kinjeng-Gumpa is a beautiful monastery surrounded by towering peaks, the perfect spot to acclimatise and soak in the incredible views of Langtang Lerung and the other majestic mountains. I already love this place. As we walked in, 360 degree views of snow-capped mountains, you feel very small, and just one speck of all the beings that are here. The Holy Land Guest House is our guest house of choice. Again, they have a rooftop area to sit and enjoy your coffee and breakfast. And it's time for lunch. Saperna and I used the weather, so we got some views from the hotel on the rooftop, then made our way down to the valley to get more photos of the area. You can walk down to the dry riverbed and get really at the bottom of the valley. It's pretty cool, but it's also pretty cold. I'm wearing a rain jacket and a hat. Saperna is doing a great job of getting content for me. Kinjeng-Gumpa is not just a place of spiritual significance, but also a base for several day hikes. You can hike to Sekho Re for even more spectacular views. But for me, I'm too tired. I can't do it anymore. This is the end point for me. I just want to sit here and enjoy the tranquility of this serene place. Physically, I am done for any more uphill hiking. I bunkered down in the Kinjeng-Gumpa Bakery and Cafe for coffee for the rest of the day as the weather turned pretty bad. Many hikers such as Lawrence and Tor came in, so we chatted and exchanged travel stories. And before we know it, it's like a group of 10 of us exchanging stories about Nepal and travels across the world. It's great to meet some fellow travellers and hikers, and we had fun in the afternoon, hiding from the rain, having coffee and cake, and getting to know each other. It was pretty dreamy. I actually got lost on my way back to the hotel, but I finally found it in the rain. Early night for me, as I want to get up early for the sunrise. The sunrise next morning is on another level. I cannot believe what I'm seeing. Langtang village was incredible, but now we're higher up in the mountains. No cloud in sight. And we saw helicopters coming and going, presumably to get the same view, dropping people off and picking people up. I got to the rooftop, had my coffee, and admired the views. 360 degrees of snow-capped mountains at the highest level in terms of altitude. I was in heaven. The towering peak of Langtang Lerung dominates the skyline. snow-covered slopes and jagged ridges creating a dramatic backdrop. The mountain is often shrouded in a veil of clouds, adding to its mystique, but this morning, no such thing. You can see it in its entirety. From Kinjengumpa, you can see several glaciers cascading down the mountainsides. Kinjeng Ri offers a panoramic view of Langtang Valley. You can get up really early to go and see it, but for me, as I said yesterday, I am done, and it's time to admire the views I'm in, not do more hiking. Another popular day hike is Seko Ri, but again, it's a tough climb up, but you will see the Shishang Pangma in Tibet, and that's 8,027 metres tall. But Kinjengumpa itself is a picturesque village with traditional stone houses and prayer flags fluttering in the wind, the monasteries, the colourful prayer wheels and ancient stupas as a spiritual and cultural dimension to the natural beauty. This is exactly what I envisioned when I set off on this hike, and I'm so happy to be here. I could stay here on this rooftop all day, and part of me feels like I should have stayed here for the rest day into the Langtang village, but hey, I've made my choice. So I ate my breakfast, soaked in all the views I possibly could, packed my stuff up and started to head down. We're aiming for Lama Hotel. It's about 6 or 7 hours hiking, but for me, weirdly, going downhill is much easier, and we set off at a quick pace and retrace our steps from the previous 6 days. I can get a move on downhill, and hopefully we make it in good time before sunset. There isn't really much to tell on this day. We stopped off at all the places we mentioned in this episode. Had lunch, had tea, had coffee, but at a quick pace. No real waiting here. We want to get down to Lama, so I can chill out, have some dinner, and get up early next morning to get back to Saibri Besi. Finally, we made it to Lama Hotel before sunset. And it was a great day in terms of hiking. I think Superna was a bit surprised at my pace going downhill, but he was happy. And we're at Lama Hotel with a tea and some dal bat. What a great way to finish the day. An early omelette and coffee, and we're setting off back to Saibri Besi. And I wasn't going to do much on this day, but there was one great moment on this hike. When we got back to Pyro Hotel, which was just before Saibri Besi. You may remember Emma stayed here for the night with me, trying to get better for the hike, and had to go back to Kathmandu. So when I returned to Pyro Hotel, I saw the old guy who owns the hotel, and he gave me a hug and shook my hand and asked how Emma was doing. It nearly made me cry. Unbelievable hospitality. We sat down, had lunch, talked about the trek and Emma. Honestly, truly the most sensational people. Interestingly, one of the workers there, I think maybe his son or his nephew, was ill, like a fever. So I dipped into my first aid kit and gave him pretty much everything I had, everything to help the cold and fever. He was really appreciative and tried to say thank you, and I said no. No thanks here. This is me saying thank you for looking after us on our first night. One of those moments that's magical. And if you can go back in time and spend another lunch there speaking to these people at this station, I would. And it's quite sad really, because people won't stay here that long due to its location on the trek. But if I ever go back, I'll make sure I stay here to spend some time with them. The last bit to Saibri Besi is tough. You walk along roads, roadworks, construction sites, as we made our way efficiently back to Saibri Besi, not the same trail as at the start of the trek. I finally made it back to Saibri Besi for a night at the Rising Sun Hotel, and I needed it because now we're much lower in altitude and I can sleep even better. Time for an early night. Emma took the jeep because she was ill, so I now have to get a bus back to Kathmandu, and I'm not that happy about it. It's going to be 10 to 12 hours, the slowest traffic along the worst roads, and it's only about 180 kilometers. It's crazy. But I got my ticket, got on the bus, and tried to settle in with some music. We stopped off along the way about 10 times, I don't really know why. Finally got back to Kathmandu, and I promised myself that as the last bus ride I'll try and take in Nepal. Finally got back to Kathmandu, caught up with Emma, and we sat with a coffee and a dal bat talking about the trek, and it's time for a rest. So here's my summary. The Langtang Valley trek can be challenging, with steep ascents and changing weather conditions. But the rewards are immense. Every step brings you closer to nature, and the views are simply out of this world. I love this area and would always go back. but it's time to reflect on this incredible journey. It's more than just a trek, it's an experience of a lifetime filled with natural beauty, cultural richness and personal growth. The endless Dalbat never gets boring, I crave it daily. I'm absolutely gutted that Emma couldn't join me on this journey, and it still saddens me today, but not carrying on was the correct choice. You do not take altitude lightly. It can affect even the fittest people on this earth. So add into that a fever and a cold, it just wasn't the right choice to carry on for Emma. But I love Nepal and the Himalayas. That part of the world holds a special place in my heart, and visiting is always a good idea. I always dream of returning, and I will one day again. The landscape is stunning, the food is incredible, and the people radiate warmth, humility, and kindness. What a place. One of my favourite places on earth. Thank you for joining me on this unforgettable adventure through the Langtang Valley. Subscribe for more travel content like this coming your way. And leave a review. A 5-star review will be great on any podcast app that you use. So until next time, happy trekking, and I'll see you on next immersive episode. Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.